Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
O'clock hour, Wendy's Big Show. Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch in with Tim Allen today on a Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Monday. Thank you for coming on in, pinch hitting.
Yeah.
As you enjoy to do for Stevie and Gary today. And
no,
Leroy.
It's the pregame show for the Hot Stove Weekly program at 6 tonight.
Ah, right. Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's right. I forgot about that. We'll get into a little bit of postgame Bucks chatter coming up. Mavericks currently in the midst of an 11-0 run.
Looks like they're going to win again.
Eclipsing the last 3 minutes. It's now 104-98, but just under 4 minutes to go. Mike Budenholzer's bunch.
Getting a little tight.
In the city uniforms, which what everybody didn't like to start out. I think they've kind of grown on people with the big bright yellow neon look, and it works out. You can look at it any way you want to. Uniforms don't necessarily matter, except I will say I saw Andrew Whitworth posted a picture of his Super Bowl jersey already rocking to go. They're going to be wearing the sky blue or the powder blues that they have with the with the beautiful gold trim. And they are going to be looking so sweet on that field.
Are.
I love those jerseys.
You see Gurley holding up a referee shirt, and then the referee holding up a Gurley jersey.
The funniest part is Bill Vinovich, who was the official yesterday in the Saints-Rams game. We've been talking a lot about the NFC
Bill,
championship
son of a Vinovich.
Vinovich had called 8 Rams games this season. They were 0-8 going into those games. So you guys want to talk about a fix possibly being in, maybe on the other side. Or maybe it was just regression to the mean that a lot of people have talked to us about the Milwaukee Brewers that you and I need to calm down with.
Yeah, cool your jets, Brewers.
Yeah, 83.5 wins. Good one. We'll take your money gladly.
Hey, there's one story that nobody's focused on today that's kind of driving me nuts. Have any of you guys, has anybody in this building seen Sean McVay's girlfriend by chance?
Yes, I have.
Oh my gosh!
Yes, I have.
That guy is just winning at life. Youngest coach in Super Bowl history. She's like a 14 out of 10. She may be the best looking.
Well, okay, let's call a spade here. I mean, Sean McVay is probably a 12 out of 10 on the females grading system, right?
I don't know, man.
It's a good looking dude, dude.
So is he a good looking dude? If he's like, okay, let's say, I mean, he's a good looking dude because he's a 33-year-old head football coach. But if he's just a regular like. I don't know.
No,
if he's your mailman. Is he like still Sean McVay? Like all the chicks want him.
I walk into a place with Sean McVay. I know that eyes will be on my group.
You know, you're taking one for the team and talking to the annoying friend is pretty much.
That on the other side, but
Matt LaFleur as well.
Right. So like in this sense, Matt LaFleur and Sean McVay walk into an establishment.
Oh man,
I would
be at that party.
First, I would call the Coast Guard because there's going to be some flooding in the area. Also, I would then make sure that I watched out for Matt LaFleur is probably getting more eyes than Sean McVay, but McVay's getting some looks. He's a good looking dude.
I'm waiting until the Packers start making their run, and then that'll elevate the standards again.
I'm not even just. I mean, I'm 100% honest. I'll tell my wife. I think I'm in love with this girlfriend, man. I think she's the most beautiful woman on this planet.
Yeah, I wouldn't quit your day job, Horvat. I'm sorry.
I call plays in Madden. I probably got a shot. Been to 2 Super Bowls this year already.
Yeah, you might.
I would say, you know, when you're sitting there and you just hit a blackjack, you just got the 3-2 payout.
No, I never know that feeling.
I wouldn't then double onto the stack. I would just take what you got and take your ball and go home.
Yeah, well, no, he's not going to take anything because he backed out of the Vegas trip in a couple of weeks.
Saving up my money in case I ever run into McVay's
girl.
There it
is. There
it is. You do know why, right? You know where he's going instead of Vegas?
Tell him, Timmy.
Well, we got to be careful. It's a surprise.
Oh, it is?
He's not listening. He's at school.
Okay.
Go on.
He's going to Disney.
I am.
Sparky got to him.
Huh?
Yep.
Wouldn't be the big show without the huh button. What?
Sparky got to him.
Going to Disney.
He's going to Disney instead of Vegas with us.
You didn't know this? Yeah, I'm going to Disney, man. It's a family trip.
So hold on here. Hold
In-laws
on here.
And everything.
Okay, hold on here. Yep. You passed up a free room.
No, I didn't pass up the free room.
Yeah, you did.
It was free. You're going to be with me. You could stay with me for free. To stay at the Harris Super Bowl weekend.
You buy a cheap flight.
Random flight out of Milwaukee, O'Hare. I mean, you live, what, 40 minutes away from there? Your parents do whatever. You could get bust over right away.
Yeah.
Right.
And instead, you're going to go to Magic Kingdom.
There's sacrifices you make when you get married. So the deal is, though, I go to Disneyland, right, for 4 days, 5 days, something like that. And well, in return, I get to go to Vegas for March Madness by myself.
Is it Disney World or Disneyland?
Which one's in Orlando?
Difference.
I'm going to Orlando.
You're going to Disney World.
Well, did you hear that, though?
Yeah, so he's bailing on us to go hang out with somebody else.
This March?
It's going to probably have to be next March. Dude, this all has to do with insufficient funds. It has nothing to do with not being able to go or being able to go or Disney. Mm-hmm. Disney was actually paid for by my in-laws.
You got a credit card?
I can't afford Disney. I do.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah, they got these little like mini banks out there. You just sit down and just zap your credit card for cash.
Oh, I know how it works. Okay. I've been to Vegas double digits. Okay. I think 11 times now, and I've left with money twice. I've got money Venmo'd to me on day two. I had to call my parents the first time I went, man. I was all jazzed up. I had one game in particular. It was the NBA Finals. I was like, no way LeBron's not covering this 12 points. They're playing the Warriors, right? They got smoked by like 30. I was calling my mom like day one.
Yeah, that was game two. I remember it very,
how
very
is your gambling going?
Pretty good, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was texting Billy throughout the day yesterday. I had some hot picks. I always know when the fix is in. Something was really fishy yesterday when, like, an hour before kickoff, like 40% of the money shifted over to the Rams. I was like, something's going on here.
No, I like the Rams.
And then all the late money came in on the Pats.
I told Billy, yeah. I go, look at this, 50%, or, you know, all these huge dollar amounts were coming in last minute on the Patriots. I was like, Brady's winning this game.
Road doggies.
It's funny how that works,
though.
They
win both. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But other than that, man, I've been pretty good, you know, college hoops good. Here and there, hit or miss. You know, football, I was decent. College football, a little bit better.
I wasn't surprised by the Saints yesterday, guys. I really wasn't, because they hadn't been playing all that great the last month and a half.
Ever since the Cowboys pretty much showed how you beat them,
yes.
you pressure Breeze up the middle and you can get to just about any quarterback, they were lackluster.
And fantasy football players that were Drew Brees owners, they know full well what was going on there. He was a shell of a player in terms of numbers the last, what, how many weeks? I mean, he'd be throwing for $173 and a touchdown for what seemed to be, you know, 3-4 weeks. And so it didn't really surprise me. And not that I think the Rams are that great. I think it's more so that the New England Patriots run is done, that the Rams find a way to win. So I'm going to go with the Rams.
So you're taking the Rams?
I think so.
You're putting that out here right now? Well, 2-point dogs?
As of right now. As of right now.
Okay.
And the other factor is our my old roommate is going to meet us out there. He's like, in the last 40 years, he's probably won about 4 Super Bowls. So whatever he likes, you go opposite. And the first thing I did this morning is call him.
You're a bad person.
And he loves Belichick and Brady. Oh, you got to go to the Patriots. We got to. Okay, thanks. I'll see you in Vegas next week.
Is this the same friend that we watched the Atlanta?
Yeah.
New England Super Bowl with?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, we're gonna have to have some conversation about that on the other side here, because I don't really know if I want to continue the trend. I mean, we're 1-1, so I feel like I might have to.
1-1 against the evil
might
empire.
Have to, but man, Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
We've been seeing it all many times. He can't lose the Super Bowl
in the place that he won his first.
I mean, I love the whole run they're on. I get it. I really respect it, and I think it's fascinating.
No, it's wild.
It is fascinating.
Sonny Gray officially being dealt to the Reds. Cincinnati Reds. Yep. Ken Rosenthal. Wow. Jeff Passan, your boy, first on the
story.
Yeah,
my favorite.
And then Sonny Gray expected to sign an extension with the Reds as condition of his trade. That from Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic.
What are they doing?
And we'll talk a little bit more baseball coming up here. The Reds are definitely stocking up. But also, somebody tweeted at us that there's been a person, one of these deep throat guys that on Twitter likes to say that they have sources, that the Brewers will be acquiring Zach Greinke. So we'll keep our eye on that. That would be fun, wouldn't it? Your old boy Zach Greinke coming back for the Milwaukee Brewers?
I would love it.
Have to give up a couple of prospects, but also then expected that Arizona would pitch in and the rest of that
money.
Deal and help you pay that money. But we'll talk about how Tim Allen is going to help make me money in Las Vegas. Coming up, Super Bowl 53 is set, Rams and Patriots. Are we idiots for betting against Brady again? So when he's Big Show on the Fan.
The Super Bowl, it hasn't. No, it's hard to imagine, you know. Yeah, it's just, it's a great feeling. I think we've overcome a lot this year, down but not out. And we found a way to play our best the last four games. Great way to end it. I was probably as excited as I've been in a long time. And, you know, a lot of things, one play here, one play there, could have changed everything, but that's football. And just proud of our team.
Don't know if I have to tell you, that's Tom Brady, New England Patriots quarterback. Greatest of all time, as you can also coin him.
I don't know, man. You say that in these parts.
Come on.
You get some resistance.
That's over now, right? Is anybody really saying Lynn Dickey is still in conversation to be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time? The other 12.
I heard a lot of Matt Flynn, yeah. He's in there. Seneca Wallace.
Ryan Horvat in here, Tim Allen and Bill Schmidt on the Fan.
Pretty impressed, though, with the Packers' run of quarterbacks. That has to be the greatest of all time, right? The Bart Starr, Favre, Rodgers thing?
Oh, I thought you were – it's close.
I mean, in terms
of – discussion. Staubach and Aikman is hard to compare with as well.
And Danny White. I'm going three.
Okay, so you got to have three. Well, Dak Prescott, your boy.
Well –
no.
I mean, he's second wins.
Yeah, how about that?
In the last
second
3 years.
Yep. And Jason Garrett as his head coach. I mean, talk about being put at a disadvantage as having who your head coach is. Jared Goff just completely flipping. That's something that we'll get into that a little bit later on here. And though some Bucks talk is coming, 116-106, if you're leaving Fiserv Forum. It's Wendy's Big Show, Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Gary out today. Tim Allen in with myself, Baby Tausch. That Sean McVay... We understand youngest head coach to go to a Super Bowl, but look at Jared Goff and where the script has been flipped on that dude in his career. Number one overall pick 3 years ago. He was left for dead after the year with Jeff Fisher.
Jeff Fisher killed him. He's gone.
Yeah. 7-9. And yep. You can't do this. He's never going to amount to anything. Jeff Fisher ruined him.
Jeff Fisher felt the need to throw the ball east-west instead of north and south.
That is 7-9. Okay.
Well, no, actually, it's Super Bowl stuff. Jeff, sorry about that, buddy.
I wonder if Jared Goff was, like, really sick and tired of throwing the ball 6 yards to his left to Tavon Austin. to where he's at now.
And I also wonder if Tom Brady is sick and tired of doing it. You watched that dude in the first three quarters of the game yesterday?
We're 8 check for
down
first
to the
10.
Left. Check down to the
on
right.
Third down.
And three... Third and tens in overtime.
James White and Sony Michel disappeared in the second half. Then it was Rex Burkhead. How does Belichick do this? You know what I mean? It's like
they're consistently getting players that will buy into their job and coaching them, because where are their superstars on defense? Malcolm Butler was supposed to be a superstar, gone, didn't even play in last year's Super Bowl. You can call Dante Hightower a superstar. I mean, he's probably as close as you can be to being a 4-3 inside linebacker and being a superstar. Yep. But Devin McCourty, I don't know. I don't see that guy getting a whole lot of love. That guy's going to his fifth Super Bowl.
And Belichick's not afraid to turn things over. And I think that's where the sustained success comes from for Belichick. And he's not afraid to go ahead and fill a need. Go ahead and grab a Randy Moss. Go ahead and grab a Brandon Cooks. And then out the door they go. Vrabel was a guy that, you know, you would think he was going to end his career there, and that didn't happen. So you just – James Devlin could have two touchdowns a week from Sunday, and it wouldn't surprise me.
I will be throwing money on James or Devlin to score the first touchdown. He was 22-1 yesterday.
Is that what it was?
Going into that game.
So are we then nuts to bet against Brady and Belichick again for the third consecutive year as we do our little retreat, if you will, to Vegas?
I like that phrase. Yes, I think we are absolutely nuts. I think
we're 500.
Unbelievable
on that.
To conceive that we would want to once again willingly bet against a guy that has been to now 9 Super Bowls. He's been to the Super Bowl half of the years that he's been starting at quarterback. He's started 18 seasons. He's going to his 9th Super Bowl.
It's hard to believe, and you don't want to like it. In fact, you don't like it, but you have to respect it. So in terms of recent history, I mean, that's what they said last year. You guys are crazy. Why are you betting the Eagles? You can't go Philadelphia on this thing. And I got to admit, I backed off a little bit in terms of money when we were out there last year. It was like, yeah, well, I do like Philly, but I'm not
We'll take a little something and then mess around on some props and try to make some extra money like that. Yes.
Yeah.
Corey Clement to score the final touchdown, who was wide open on a wheel route at 18-1. Instead, they decided to take a double-covered Zach Ertz on a slant from 8 yards away, and he barely gets in.
So you're 1-1 betting against Brady and Belichick in the last 2 years. Do you do it again? I say yes. Because you just heard Tom Brady there. If for some reason he seemed more jacked up yesterday than in prior AFC title wins, did it seem that way to you?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no doubt. He was juiced. I don't know if I've seen him that excited. And also James Palmer, I believe, or Evan Washburn from CBS might have noticed that as well.
Big time. I don't think he knew what to do when the F-bomb was dropped. But he seems so jacked up, almost like he didn't expect to win. I know they expect to win, and that's the way you play pro sports. He seemed a little jacked up to me, like, holy wow, I did it again.
We did this again.
Yes, we did it again. For some reason, there's something about the Rams. I liked them yesterday's game against the Saints, and I couldn't really put my finger on outside the fact that it wasn't necessarily that the Rams I liked so much. It was the Saints that I didn't like in the last month and a half or so. And I don't know if I can put my finger on why Todd Gurley's on the sideline for the second half, you know, second leading rusher in the NFL.
Yeah, I can tell it because he sucked in the first half.
Yeah, the 6-yard touchdown. I mean, maybe that's a little something to build on.
Drop the ball, go right into the hands of DeMario Davis for an interception, and then drop a surefire.
But he's trying
first
to make
down
a play.
Possible touchdown on that out route as well.
I understand. But something about the Rams, though, and I think their defense hasn't played the best that it can recently. They did well against the Cowboys, but there was some other, you know, mitigating circumstances there. Mm-hmm. I think Dak freaked out a little bit in the first half, and that put the Rams in front of them. But I like the Rams in this one. Should we have our head examined to bet against Brady Belichick again for the third straight year? I'm not so sure about that. Crazy is on a visitation basis with us once in a while.
I'm still not sold on either side that I'm going on, because we're going to break this thing down and rebuild it 19 times before Sunday, or next Sunday, I guess we should say.
Yeah, this is your first taste of it.
And, oh, yeah, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
This is amazing. As getting into this show, this chair, at, like, the perfect time for me, right before the Super Bowl? Are you kidding me? This is like Christmas.
As Gary and Leroy, have they said anything about who they liked over social media at all, or
not that I know of. I think we're going to get Gary's we're going to get Gary's reaction to yesterday, tomorrow, and Sparky as well, and Leroy is going to be in here a couple of times. But yeah, there's different ways that you go about it when you look at it from a player's perspective of how those games went. He was big on, he loved the Rams yesterday, and he liked the Chiefs. And for as much of Pat Mahomes' greatness as you saw in that second half, you saw what a young quarterback can do in a pressure spot. When Pat Mahomes, if anybody was watching that first half, he was on a milk carton for the first half. He was bad. He was not good. He had one nice no-look pass, missed two open receivers deep, and a wide-open Damian Williams in the back of the end zone. So there's changes of how these guys are going to play, but you're talking about a young quarterback. Jared Goff has completely changed the momentum of his career and has a possibility to be a third-year quarterback winning a Super Bowl against the greatest of all time.
And that's why you need to give some young quarterbacks time. They're not going to be Dan Marino and step in and just be wicked.
It's a good
from
point.
The start.
Yep.
It's a very special guy that does that. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady to a degree and Jared Goff and now Pat Mahomes. Give these guys a couple of years so they don't go into panic attack in the first half of a huge game. Let them get their legs a little bit. Let the moment come to them instead of getting overwhelmed by the moment. And you see it. You see it now. Does Jared Goff, does he turn into that in the first half in 2 weeks? Maybe.
Well,
that's the only thing that scares me about betting – you know, against Brady and Belichick.
And you know what? He was also in pretty much the exact same situation yesterday on the road to start the game. And Jared Goff went through some big-time learning curves yesterday in the beginning of that game. Sean McVay knows they weren't able to communicate. He comes off the field after throwing a pick in what it was the first or second series. They had the ball. He throws an interception out of the hands of his reigning MVP. And the guy faced as much adversity as you possibly could in a situation yesterday and only got better as that game went on, except for the two throws towards the end of the game, which could have costed him big time.
And that was the biggest difference. Like, if you watch that and you go back to the national championship where Nick Saban saw something in that second quarter against Clemson and he just panicked and went with the fake field goal and whatnot, McVay never panicked. Goff came over after that pick, and there's a chance you're going down 10-0 right there. Luckily, they get the two field goals to make it just 6-0, but McVay's just like, it is what it is. Keep your head in the game. And like Billy said, that's what the Saints should have did yesterday. Instead, you get all wrapped around one play. You can't go back and change it. That's the biggest difference in playoff football. That's what I like about McVay, though, man. The guy is just never rattled. You watch him on the sidelines. He's a great offensive mind, but also the way he relates to players. Like, guy makes a play, he runs over and he's chest bumping him, headbutting him. Like, he's the last of a dying breed. Like that, him, and that's what I love about Tom Brady. As much as everybody like pisses and moans over Tom Brady right now, oh, he's so arrogant. That video with him and Gronk, so arrogant. You know, be humble, blah, blah, blah. It's like, humble? The guy's playing in his ninth Super Bowl. That's what I like about Brady. Like, he's headbutting his lineman. A guy misses a block, and he's mother-effing the lineman in the huddle. Like, nobody does that anymore. These guys all play everything so safe. I love Jared Goff. I love Patrick Mahomes. Listen to those guys get interviewed. Then listen to Tom Brady. Listen to Tom Brady before a game calling himself the baddest you-know-what on the planet. Like, there's just guys aren't built like that anymore.
One of my favorite things I ever saw live, and we got to get to a break and we'll keep this going. One of the best things that I ever saw live is when Brady comes out of the tunnel to start a game, runs the full 110 yards, and then just flexes his muscles, screams into the crowd. He did it like 35 feet away from me back in 2014.
Yeah.
I got just an absolute steal of a deal. My buddy was dating somebody who's daughter or somebody's daughter who used to play for the Packers or whatever. We got the alumni tickets. We were like fifth row for Brady Rogers in 2014 at Lambeau. And he runs at me.
That's awesome.
I felt like he was looking square in my eyes and just screamed. And I was like, damn, I just lost $200. I don't know what else I'm going to do.
My favorite moment was in the Super Bowl. The first time they played the Giants, it was the 17-0 season.
Yeah.
And Eli comes up to him and they're showing it pregame. Eli just runs over to say, hey, good luck today. And Brady just mother F's him and stares him down. And it was Eli's first Super Bowl. And Eli like kind of backed up and like looked like he just saw the face of the devil. Brady ends up losing the game, but I was just like, man, this guy's just built a different way, the way he's wired.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. I
mean, it's amazing.
And we just might bet against him again.
We might.
We just might do it.
Yep.
Tim and Tausch in here on the Wendy's Big Show. Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, and Tim Allen, the franchise. He's in for Sparky and Gary and Leroy. The only guy that could do that, the franchise. We'll be back on the Fan.
A victory on the road, AFC Championship game. I mean, it was the way we fought this game. I mean, couldn't be more proud to be on this team. More proud to be out there with the boys, how hard we just kept fighting. Defense, offense, special teams. It was one of my sweeter victories, definitely.
Rob Gronkowski, Patriots tight end, future Hall of Famer.
Hey, he showed up.
On the Wendy's Big Show. Tim Allen. Bill Schmidt in with you for the next 2 hours and 13 minutes. Well, 3 hours and 13 minutes. Sorry, Hot Stove Weekly comes up at 6 as well.
Bucks win again.
Yeah, no doubt. 116-106, the Milwaukee Bucks. 31 from Giannis. Luka Doncic, only 18. Jalen Brunson, point guard for the Dallas Mavericks, formerly of Villanova, dropped 16. But the Bucks race out after this one. They gave up an 11-0 run late with about 4 minutes left, took a timeout. up six, and Bud just says, here, guys, let's go win it.
Like 20 games over 500 now.
22. So 34-12.
That is amazing. A very powerful team in the East. I think everyone's starting to sort of get it now, mm-hmm. right?
Well, and I also wonder just how important home court advantage is for these guys. Because, I mean, we talk about it like it could be a foregone conclusion. 21-4 at Fiserv Forum so far.
Good trend. That's a great trend for a brand new arena. You know, for any arena, but mm-hmm. but a brand new one, that's a great way to start.
There have been four losses at Fiserv Forum by the two main tenants.
And you've been to four of them?
No, actually, I did see one of them. Okay. I was at the Memphis game when they lost the first one, so I guess you could blame that one on me.
Making arrangements to go to my first game at the Fiserv Forum.
Nice. Now we're talking.
Saturday we get back from Vegas, it'll be February 9th.
Okay.
I think Orlando's in town.
Are you going to pay for the tickets previously?
I said making arrangements.
Why don't you book that money before we go out and bet against Tom Brady?
Just sort of making arrangements through a friend of a friend sort of thing, you know.
Oh, okay, so it's free.
Yeah, well, I'm trying.
That's right. That franchise player, he doesn't pay for his own tickets. Are you kidding me? This guy didn't pay for his own tickets?
No, I get a solid firm no. I think a no is somewhat respectable at times. I think some people have a problem with a good firm no at times. You know, sometimes we're a little too soft to do things like that. No.
Oh, so just tell somebody, no, I'm not going to do that for you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, okay. It's okay. It's all right.
NFL saying this from ESPN, the NFL will discuss this offseason whether or not to make pass interference penalties reviewable. So we talked earlier on today during the 2 o'clock hour.
That's a firm no for me, bud.
How would you change and make sure that what we saw yesterday, clear cut, helmet to helmet, pass interference, two different fouls. Nickell Roby Coleman not called for either of them as the Saints were going down to lock up the NFC Championship. No call. Sorry, Sean Payton, you have to kick a field goal after you mismanaged the clock and possibly lost your team the opportunity to go to a Super Bowl. Don't say that was a Super Bowl changing call when you missed five or six Super Bowl changing calls. Sorry, I'm still frustrated with Sean Payton.
There's always a play or two that will change the game. Brady even said it in his game.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine all the different dynamics that would be involved in a video review of a pass interference call? Think about what we do with a catch or no catch. With does he make a football move? How many steps? Does he elbow? One elbow equals 2 feet. Does the butt? What is it when it's a butt? The forearm, is the forearm down? Was his knee? Did the ball wiggle? Did he have control? Did it hit the ground a little bit? Et cetera. All of those things in a video replay. Now, fast forward to potentially replaying a pass interference call to where now you have to have the factors of did he trip? Did he slip? Was he turning toward the ball? Was it incidental? Did their legs get tangled? All of those things would now have to come into play on a review.
And you're talking about one of the most impactful penalties that a team can be called for. It's the only penalty in the game that can be more than 15 yards. It's one of the only penalties that immediately calls the play down at the 1 yard line if it happens against the defense in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game altering decision, but it's also a game altering decision that defensive backs make live at the point of attack.
Full speed.
Roby Coleman in full speed said pretty much, "Hey man, I knew I was beat. I had to do something.
I got away with it.
And I got away with it." Yep. I can tell you there were a lot of different times when I needed to grab a little bit more onto the jersey.
Because your quarterback was about to get his head taken off.
Was about to get rocked. Right. Or this, you know, possible 80-yard gain for a touchdown was going to be a 2-yard loss if I don't get this reach block. There's so many different times in a game where you make those decisions as players. I just don't know if you can frame by frame say this ball was too close, this ball wasn't catchable, you know, the contact came early, no, it was right on time. When you're doing this in slow, super, super, super slow-mo.
Your eyes can fool you sometimes. They can. There's no question. Sure, how many times you watch a football game and you say, oh, my goodness, Amy, that was this. And then you look at the replay and you're like, oh, yeah, I guess it wasn't like that. Could there be incorporated into something? I've always frowned on the amount of time that it takes on video review where, you know, now your eyes can lie to you even more when it's, you know, frame by frame and increase the pixels and, you know, all this HD technology and the angles. Are the angles the same as they're seeing in New York? That's a big one. Are they getting the same angles in New York? Your eyes can lie to you there. What about this? Implement a sort of, for lack of another term, a blatant rule where it's just so blatant and you only get 10 seconds to make that call. It has to be that blatant. It has to be 10 seconds. You're going to watch it again at this speed. Let's make sure we at least take care of the blatant calls. Now, that call yesterday would have fallen under the umbrella of the blatant call, right?
For either pass interference or helmet to helmet, I would say, yes.
Or the hit to the head. Right.
No doubt.
So could that be something to take a look at to where it's not going to be a 6-minute review?
But it also
I can't go with reviewing pass interference. I can't do that. There's too many limbs and elbows and asses and everything flying around. That would be way too difficult.
I'm not going to do it if it comes down to going under the hood or now going and looking at the Microsoft Surface Pro 4 or whatever it is. If it takes the official off of the field of play to go review the play himself, no, not going to do it. But we have the technology now where somebody is in the booth, a video replay official is in the booth, quickly signals down through a small micro headset in the referee's ear that says, hey, man, give me 5 seconds. That looked bad. Takes 5 seconds,
the
says,
sort of,
hey, man, it was blatant.
The blatant.
We have to change it. To me, that's no different than the officials meeting up, gathering together after they throw a flag and saying, check it with the back judge. Hey, did you see the same thing that I did? And then the line judge says, nah, man, it looked like they got tripped up. Their feet, it was incidental contact. That doesn't seem to me any different than the officials meeting on the field. But if I'm going to take the official off, go under the hood, grab the headset, then we're wasting everybody's time. Then Agreed. We're doing too much.
Agreed. And, you know, I've always had a little bit of an issue with picking flags up. Picking a flag up. Now,
yeah, you do have a big problem with that.
I do.
I don't get at all.
Well, you threw that flag.
Right.
What did you see?
Something that was wrong.
Okay, but then why are we picking this up? I just threw a flag. Should be mandatory.
Because you
do that flag, you're making a call.
Yeah, but you messed up, so I'm going to take this flag away from you and not let you do it for the rest of the game. That's what they should do. That ref should never be allowed to ref another NFL game.
Oh, come on.
No. I get it. It's wrong, but if I came on here and dropped a word that I probably wasn't going to be able to, I probably wouldn't work in radio again.
I'm a believer that full-time referees would improve the calls.
Agreed.
Exponentially.
No doubt.
Exponentially.
This is the NFL. How much money can possibly you have to spend to make sure that your line judge isn't going and reviewing DUI cases on the weekdays and being a lawyer or a doctor or something like that? You can't tell me you can't have full-time refs.
They're successful, and there's lawyers that spend a tremendous amount of work hours, 70, 80, 90, 100 hours a week to get successful to where they're at, running their law firm or, you know, an accounting agency or brokerage firm and these types of things. And, you know, to be successful at that, you have to invest more than 9 to 5, weekends off. You have to do
holidays off.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We have one today.
Today, yes. So to be successful, you have to overwork. That being said, a lot of these NFL referees part-time have their full-time job while overworking. How much time is it humanly possible for them to invest in the study of the game they're doing on Sunday? It can't be that much investment of man hours. It can't be, based on their other full-time jobs.
Ed Hockley did it probably better than anyone.
He's a lawyer,
has
right?
or will. Full-time lawyer.
Yeah.
Gene Steratore, also, I think he was probably the best NFL official that I've seen in my short lifetime. He was a college basketball ref. So if he wasn't doing an NFL game, he was traveling to, you know, Assembly Hall and calling Indiana Purdue. Mm-hmm. you're still focusing the fast twitch muscles that are incorporated in being an official. I guess the sport doesn't change. We talk about sports, and you know, besides baseball, football, basketball, hockey, whatever it is that we're talking about, I think all of it encompasses getting better at talking about the craft of sports. If you're going to be officiating, it all helps you understand to train yourself to be a better judge of what's happening in front of you.
And wouldn't the NFL, as its own entity, hundreds of billions of dollars, and wouldn't it behoove them to make the product better by getting referees that are solely and totally invested in their craft? And so, you know, in other words, if you were assigned this game and you were assigned, you're the, I don't know, the back judge or whatever, and you're going to take a look at Michael Thomas. Michael Thomas, not real good at separation, right? Well, he's a good guy for hand-to-hand combat. Michael Thomas, you got to, hey, Michael Thomas, dude, not going to let you get away with that. I've been what? You know what I mean?
Right.
So you would know the little nuances of the game you're calling that Sunday. Some of that's done. Some of that is done. And by virtue of the fact that they've increased the number of full-time referees in the NFL from last year to this year is a good sign. But with the amount of money flying around, why aren't they all full-time referees?
Well, because, you know, Roger Goodell did have it in his new contract that he needs a private jet. So that also could add something to do with the money for the full-time officials.
That might
have cut into the money that was being saved
for
the full-time officials.
Being a Saints fan, though, I mean, today. And I'm not saying that that's one call, as you've stated this afternoon. One call was the end-all, be-all difference, because we all know in the NFL, first and goal at the one, sometimes this isn't a no-brainer touchdown. But how would you feel as a Saints fan today?
I crafted a tweet, and yes, I say crafted, because sometimes I put a little bit too long into the tweet, and then I actually never send it because I didn't like what it said. Sean McVay made a call in that game that I thought was one of the most egregious calls by any NFL head coach I've seen in the last 5 years. And then it turns out to still have an opportunity to come up on the right side. Sean Payton also made 3 or 4 calls that I thought could have been the worst call ever. This game changes so quickly that what we see, like you said, sometimes your eyes deceive you. And sometimes you need to take the 365-foot global view away and take a step back and understand what you're seeing. And have a second pair of eyes. Maybe video replay isn't the worst thing yet. Could happen for pass interference in the game. I just don't know exactly how you're going to judge it. I don't know exactly how it's going to be broken down, how it's going to be reviewed.
Could you imagine that?
In the league office. Like you said, these refs are all going to go into a meeting this week. And like you do with your boss when you screw up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.